Welcome back to A Closer Look with Rose Scott. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Georgia Power and its partners in the expansion of nuclear plant Vogtle down in southeast Georgia have announced that there will be another delay in the construction, this time an estimated 18 months. So now, a project that was supposed to have been done in early 2016 for one reactor and early 2017 for the other is now looking at an estimated completion of mid-2019 for the first reactor, mid-2020 for the second. What does this mean to consumers, and how will Georgia regulators react? Tim Eccles is a member of the Public Service Commission, the state regulatory body. They are all elected. There are five members. He joins us in the studio. Commissioner, thanks for making the time. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to be here, and I hate that we have this news on the delay.
Last month, Georgia Power said its original, revised timeline, because there had already been one delay, was accurate. Told commissioners just last month, this is going to be the right timeline. Do you feel that they were misleading you?
You know, Georgia Power didn't have the schedule from the construction company. Remember, Georgia Power is one of the owners. They're not actually building it themselves. So we really pressed them to get this schedule. And shortly after the hearing that you're referencing, we did get the schedule from the construction companies involved. And
yeah, this is called an integrated project schedule. And one of the objections in that hearing was that you guys didn't have that. You do now?
Yes, we do have that now. And what came out of that initial hearing that you're referencing is our monitor, our independent monitor, said, look, that it's imprudent to operate and try to build this plant without a schedule. Shortly after he made that comment, the contractors came forward with a schedule, and of course it was bad news that the project is taking longer than it's supposed to.
Have we reached the point of diminishing returns with this project? In other words, while we're building this, we're also looking for less expensive, cleaner sources of energy. And the argument has been, well, they take a while to develop. And nuclear power can be not only a source for now, but kind of a bridge to the future. But if it keeps being delayed, aren't we really getting to the point where we might as well just go ahead and develop those cleaner sources of power and put our resources there?
You know, I would say that if the EPA had not come along recently with this clean power plan, and the mandate that Georgia is going to have to cut its CO2 out of power plants by 47%. I would say if we didn't have that on the horizon, that you might could consider scuttling this. However, the compliance that we're working towards with this rule, Plant Vogtle 3 and 4, is a third of that compliance. So if we don't have this plant, which has zero carbon emissions, I think it's going to be virtually impossible for us to meet the goal, because that would kick us up into a 60% range on carbon reduction. And frankly, I don't think we could do it. And so I think we're going to have to bite the bullet. We're going to have to finish this plant.
Was it a mistake, though, to back when the decision was made, say, okay, this is how we're going to comply with potential clean air rules of the future? Was it a mistake to put our eggs in the nuclear basket?
Well, you know, hindsight is – you know, 2020, it's easy to look back. But I think in looking back at what the legislature and what the commission did, they made the right decision to move forward with it. A lot of folks who were other states who were planning on building decided not to. So Georgia is going to get the lion's share of the production tax credits. And frankly, Dennis, a lot of the cost on the overruns that Georgia Power is projecting is simply the replacement power for what we're going to have to get because the plant's not running. Again, we were counting on this producing energy in 16 and 17. It's not, so we've got to get that energy from somewhere. We're going to have to go out to the market, or we're going to have to burn a more expensive plant to get it. So part and parcel of the cost of this is the replacement energy.
So what will be the cost to consumers from this?
Well, we don't know exactly what the cost is going to be, but here's the good news, I think, for ratepayers. It's that the Public Service Commission, which is elected by voters in Georgia, has the last word. So, you know, I know Georgia Power, you know, they may be spending this amount on that, or have the delay on this, or a lawsuit with a construction company on this. But I really liken this, Dennis, to an employee who's out there filling out an expense report for their boss, right, for a trip. You can put anything you want to down on that expense report, but look, the accountant has to sign off on it. And the Georgia Public Service Commission in 2019 will have to sign off on any and every overage, and you can believe that this commission is going to look with high scrutiny at anything that's over the certified cost. So we technically haven't given them a dime over what they've asked for. They're telling us, look, we're going over. There's going to be a delay, and we know that that's going to happen, but we will have the last word.
But is there any place else to go? Because if the bill is big enough, and it is already well over what it was expected to be, I mean, we started out as a $14 billion project. It's now $15.5 billion, and that's before this delay,
you know,
which would be another $2 billion or so. And there are the costs of the lawsuits that you just referred to. So is some of this, no matter what the commission decides, isn't some of this going to have to come out of consumers?
I think the interest, that's the part that is going to be paid regardless. That will not be imprudent. The carrying cost, right, for the billions of dollars that are being financed here. And
so, do we have any idea how much that would be as long as we don't know when it's going to be done?
Oh, we do. We do know. It's about $2 million a day for every day that we're delayed. So we certainly want to see this project move forward as fast as possible. But again, a lot of this is out of Georgia Power's control. It's certainly out of the commission's control. But, you know, in 1991—
But you're saying the commission has the authority to say to Georgia Power, you guys have to swallow X amount of these overruns.
The law says that if the expenses were imprudently occurred, incurred. So it's—
What does imprudently incurred mean to you?
The law's really clear. It spells it out, and we'll look at each and everything. So if it's rebar, if it's modules, whatever it is, we're going to have a hearing. It's going to be transparent. It's going to be on the record, and the commission will ask the questions, look at the data, get the report from our monitor, and we will make a decision at the time allotted for this, which is going to be 2019, to go back over everything about the plant. And then it's the reason I think it's better to wait is because, look, they're pouring a lot of concrete. I want to have given that concrete time to crack or have a problem. I want to give the issues at the plant an opportunity so that I can look at it comprehensively to see what went wrong here, what is Georgia Power's responsibility, what was beyond their control.
Do you think Georgia Power has been transparent with the commission?
Absolutely. Frankly, I wish Georgia Power was building this plant instead of the construction companies, because Georgia Power is a company, and, you know, if you've ever been to a Kiwanis or a Rotary or been involved with the Chamber, you know, Georgia Power's sitting right there. They've given to practically every charity in the state. They're a very generous company. They're very engaged. Their employees are very much involved in the community. So, frankly, I wish they were building it, but they're not. They've got construction companies that they're dealing with, and those construction companies have been sloppy on some things. And Georgia Power knows that. They've said that. They've told us that. They've given us reports all along the way. This will be, Dennis, our 12th semiannual hearing that we're about to enter into in April.
What will be your questions at that point?
Well, I'm going to have a lot of questions. And in talking with the other commissioners, I know that they're going to have a lot of questions, too. You know, regarding the modules and how they're coming along, it seems like—
Now, the modules are?
The modules, this is a—think about this, the inside of the reactor or what's over the reactor being constructed almost like Legos, where you're putting it together. It's modular construction, and this is the first time that this has ever been attempted in the United States. And frankly, Dennis, the fact that we're building one of the first nuclear facilities in 30 years, that's part and parcel of the problem here, is that the U.S. stopped building these. And so Georgia has taken a chance to build this quote, new project. And, you know, we've seen in Atlanta, you can't build a streetcar, you can't build a stadium. For goodness sakes, you can hardly build a personal residence and not go over budget some. And this project, when the commission approved it, had no contingency for overrun, zero contingency for
overrun.
Why
not?
Well, because—
Why would the commission approve a project without a contingency?
You know, I wasn't on the commission at the time, but in talking with the other commissioners, they felt like, you know, this is a new project. We don't know, you know, how this is going to go.
So, but we had some history. I mean, there were two reactors there to start with, and those, when they were built some years before, had monumental cost overruns. So wasn't there plenty of evidence before the commission that there should have been a contingency?
And when 1 and 2 went over, the legislature stepped in and they changed the law. They created the integrated resource plan. They really changed the way power plants are built in our state. And frankly, the legislature has been very helpful to us. They're giving us in the budget this year an additional staff member. We've got an independent monitor. So it's not like the commissioners have hard hats on and we're walking around out there micromanaging this construction project. Dennis, there's 4,200 people working out there today. This is a gigantic project. And for listeners, think about what is more complicated than building a nuclear power plant? Maybe a spaceship. That's probably the most complicated thing you can possibly build. So we're leading the way in the U.S., and I think given the fact that the EPA rule is coming and that we're going to have to reduce our CO2, I'm really glad that we are building this. We have just got to make sure that we finish and we finish well.
Two quick questions. It could be argued and has been, I think, by some environmental advocates that we could meet the federal requirements even without nuclear power by working on technology to decrease emissions.
Well, Georgia is the fastest growing solar state. When I took office in 2011, we had 4 measly megawatts of solar. We're now the 7th largest solar state, the fastest growing solar state. And Dennis, that's voluntarily. That's without a renewable portfolio standard, which is basically the state government sticking a gun to your head and saying, you've got to put the renewable energy.
Why not push ahead with that then?
We are pushing ahead. We are moving forward. We're adding biomass. We're adding more solar. We're engaged in this electric car thing because we approved Georgia Power's tariff basically to reduce a consumer's electricity to 1 penny per kilowatt hour overnight if they charge their Nissan Leaf. I have a Leaf. I'm about to go get another one next week.
Before the tax credit runs out, maybe.
I wonder why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Before the credit ends.
A different story for a different time. But very quickly, last month, William Jacobs, the state's independent construction monitor, told the commission, look, the economic analysis shows that this expansion project at Vogtle, still has benefits. Do you agree with that at this point? And are you concerned that another delay might change that?
You know, given that this is a 60-year life project, and so that extends beyond my lifetime, and that's what we have to think about as regulators. We've calculated to be a $35 to $40 billion benefit to ratepayers. It still has value, and as our inspector said, yes, the value is eroding as it's delayed. It erodes, but it still is the best deal for consumers. And as long as it's the best deal for consumers, I'm still on board.
Tim Eccles is one of 5 members of Georgia's Public Service Commission. Commissioner Eccles, thanks so much for coming by and giving us this time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks for your good work here at WABE.